So we are on page 533, book 7, canto 6, Nirvana and the discovery of the all-negating absolute. So the background is, as we are seeing, often people ask this question, what is the good that a spiritual person does? Because spiritual person is not opening free hospitals, he is not earning money to give to orphanages, no, and he is not engaged in philanthropic activities. So what is the use? So here Sri Aurobindo is answering that question also. So he is saying, and other places also, in the quest also we will find, the presence of a person who is into spiritual life is itself a boon for the earth, because he brings the forces of a higher order in contact with earth. And when these forces come, they will percolate in human beings. They bring hope, they bring light, they bring peace, they bring joy, harmony, faith. They awaken aspiration. This is the real work. Because ultimately, even if you give money, everything you can give, but still people remain unhappy. So we had this beautiful description, how it's also in Kena Upanishad we have a hint that a realized person, he becomes a pot of sweetness. So his mere presence helps people grow happy, wiser, just by the company. So that's what we see here. Last time we read about this bright perfection of her inner state poured out, overflowing into her outward scene, made beautiful, dull, common, natural things. Even objects are permeated by the presence. We see Mother Sri Aurobindo's objects they handled, whatever they touched, and how each of these objects emanates a certain presence. I don't know, I mean, that's what I have felt. I have seen a flask touched by mother, used by the mother. Just you go near it, you feel ki this is not just a flask. It is something which has been touched by her. So, and it is a very ancient knowledge, you know. There are films which have been made on this, on the cup of Christ. It's like a relics because it contains those forces, and it acts like a receiver and transmitter. Pieces of mother sari, now, you know, so rare, but now they are giving it. So when you hold these objects, they are very, very special. So this is what is being revealed to us. Even the smallest, meanest work became a sweet or glad and glorious sacrament, an offering to the self of the great world, or a service to the one in each and all. So when a divine being acts, there is nothing big or small. It's not like when he is meditating, then only something great is happening. Even the smallest action, arranging a flower, giving a cup of tea, all these things become divine acts. A light invaded all from her being's light. Her heart beats, dance, communicated bliss. Happiness grew happier, shared with her by her touch. And grief, some solace found when she drew near. So she did not have to give any counseling or any advice. Just going near her lifted away the grief. So this is what we know, that famous story Chomdi was recounting me, when her father passed away, and she was very small, no? 3 year, 4 year, like that. And they went to meet mother. He was very young, must be in his late 40s. And the mother was waiting at the threshold to meet her mother and herself, Minidhi. And when she sees the mother simply asked one question, do you want to meet him? Now she had not gone prepared with this. Meet him means he has gone away. Then mother said, he is very happy with me. Do you want to meet him? Then suddenly everything changed. She said, no mother, let him be happy with you. As if she takes away the entire burden of grief. This is what Shiva drinking poison. So this is the presence of such beings. Now we continue. Above the cherished head of Satyavan, she saw not now fate's dark and lethal orb, a golden circle round a mystic sun, disclosed to her newborn predicting sight, the cyclic rondure of a sovereign life. So when we are in that full-blown psychic state, then things like death, fear, it goes away. It cannot come near. So she knows that Satyavan is going to die. But she realized the soul. So now she is not experiencing. Earlier, before she has engaged into yoga, when she sees Satyavan, every day she is feeling, oh, one more golden leaflet is torn out. Oh, this happiness is not going to last. But now, after that psychic state, she is no more feeling like that. She rather sees that whatever may happen ultimately, she sees a sovereign days, which is the truth actually. Ultimately, he comes out of death. But she sees that he will lead a full life, a beautiful life. So this is the state of the psychic, one who has realized the psychic being. In her visions and deep-etched veridical dreams, in brief shiftings of the future's heavy screen, he lay not by a dolorous decree, a victim in the dismal anter of death. So all these anxieties, apprehensions, fear, all that has gone away. So one-stop solution. Find the psychic being. Otherwise, doctors and medicines. So this is the solution that Mother and Aurobindo give. And when she finds the psychic being, even in her dreams, everything has grown beautiful. All apprehension. And she knows that he is going to die. Narada has prophesied. But there is no anxiety anymore. What a beautiful state it is that is being described. A victim in the dismal anter of death, or borne to blissful regions far from her, forgetting the sweetness of earth's warm delight, forgetting the passionate oneness of love's clasp, absolved in the self-wrapped immortal's bliss. Because you experience in that state all the time the arms of the divine, the embrace of the divine all around. So even if you are in Kurukshetra, even when you are surrounded by outer darkness, you are experiencing that touch of divine embrace. So how can you feel fear? How can you feel anxiety? How can you feel worry? So this is the solution that the Mother and Sri Aurobindo offer to all of us who wish to. Otherwise, there is duniyadari, practical. Earn money, make a house, have children, all those, etc., etc. Somebody will take care when we are old. Nobody will take care when you are old. All children go away. But when you find the psychic being, you are taken care of by 100 children. All around. No, this is the experience. Always he was with her, a living soul that met her eyes with closed, enamored eyes. How beautiful this is. Normally for togetherness we want the person to be physically. But psychic love does not need physical presence. Wherever she goes, she feels he is with her, near her. His soul is all the time connected with her, and that is what will help ultimately. When death begins to take him away, it is because she is connected with his soul. Therefore she can follow him. So when we are connected with the Divine Mother, then wherever we may be, she has the GPS tracking device connected. Our GPS tracking is Ma. And we don't even have to call. She will be there. Because that's the bond which has formed. And that's how the mother takes all her children into her embrace. What does it mean? Mother has described also, when I say I am near you, what it does it mean? She says, I don't stand on the shore and watch you jump. I go down into the abyss with you. So that is the bond she has formed with Satyavan and with all of us, whoever has given ourselves and opened to her. A living body near to her body is joy. So that's how she is experiencing life. But if she remains in this state, how she will fulfill the mission? Her mission is to कौन का डेथ टू एस्टैब्लिश द पॉसिबिलिटी ऑफ बाईपासिंग डेथ. सो इफ शी हैज नो फियर, नो एंग्जाइटी, नो वरी, हाउ शी विल एक्ट. सो नाउ द डिवाइन यूजेज ए स्ट्रेटेजी. इट्स लाइक इफ रामा इज नॉट एक्साइल्ड देन हाउ ही विल फुलफिल हिज मिशन. इफ सीता हरण डज नॉट टेक प्लेस, हाउ ही विल गो एंड kill Ravan, because he is happy, they are happy with, I mean, blissful. So now the divine strategy opens the door somewhere for the entry of Mr. Death and company. But now, no longer in these great wild woods, in kinship with the days of bird and beast, and level to the bareness of earth's brown breast, but mid the thinking, high-built lives of men, in tapestried chambers and on crystal floors, in armored town or garden pleasure walks, even in distance, closer than our thoughts, body to body near, soul near to soul, wherever she could go, wherever her mind would travel, in far-off places, Satyavan was always with her. This is the true love. Shubhendu describes in a poem called Immortal Love. So love is not holding somebody near, clasping forcibly. If there is true love, you can never be separated. That's the beauty. Time and distance cannot sever true love. So that is the state of Savitri and Satyavan. Moving as if by a common breath and will, they were tied in the single circling of their days. How beautifully Shobindo explains to us the true meaning of those seven round around the fire. It's not a ritual or a mechanical thing. It's that together on all the planes, they are together. This is what Shobindo is describing. The ideal of true marriage or togetherness on all the planes, physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, psychic, they are together, moving round the days. Together by love's unseen atmosphere. This is another very interesting thing. Who has tied the bond? Not a court. So in India, marriage is not a legal act. Not even a social act. It is a spiritual act. So that is the purpose. Now it has all got degenerated. So obviously, divine has broken that old system. But it is meant to be that. It was meant to be that. It was not a legal act that going and signing a register. Together by love's unseen atmosphere, who was keeping them tied? Love. Inseparable like the earth and sky. What a wonderful, you see, analogy. Earth and sky never meet. But they cannot be separated ever. Earth is always gazing at sky. Sky is always gazing at earth. And in a way, sky leans. And everywhere on earth, in earth, sky is there. If it takes sky as space, everywhere it is penetrating earth in every way, surrounding earth, enveloping earth. But if you tell them, do you have breakfast together? They'll say, no, like we can't. We are not supposed to. Mother and Sri Aurobindo, during 40 years of their stay here, how many years? 30 years of stay together when she has come permanently. Champaklalji says only once he saw them having breakfast together. And that too because, not arranged, but you know, things were getting late because too many works he had to do. So she brings breakfast for Sri Aurobindo. Then after a little hesitation, she says, I suppose I can also have here. And of course, she doesn't have to ask anyone. She picks up a toast, that was her meal, and she also has one, and Sri Aurobindo has one. That is the kind of inseparable like the earth and sky. Thus, for a while, she trod the golden path. This is the golden path, the sunlit path of the soul. This was the sun before abysmal night. Why? Because night has to come. She has to work upon night. She is not worried about night. She is not scared of night. So night has to invade, knocking at the door. Once as she sat in deep, felicitous muse, self-quivering from her lover's strong embrace, and made her joy a bridge twixt earth and heaven. So you see, this is the beauty of Sri Aurobindo. He is not a typical Puritan the way we understand. When people love each other, that embrace is an act of fulfillment of a deep spiritual oneness. It's not just any embrace. And when she has just come out, still quivering with the touch of love, it's a means to express love. An abyss yawned suddenly beneath her heart. Because this physical embrace is not going to last. That is why the abyss suddenly comes from somewhere in the heart. A vast and nameless fear dragged at her nerves, as drags a wild beast its half-slaughtered prey. Because suddenly it realizes Satyavan has escaped. He is in a wonderful state. What will happen? If he takes Satyavan, Savitri will also go with him. As simple as that. She is not afraid. Death doesn't exist. But that is not Savitri's mission. So by a divine diplomacy, divine strategy, now death and fear come knocking. What is the fear? This is not going to last forever. Please remember. It comes knocking. It seemed to have no den from which it sprang. Why? Because it is coming from the inconscient. Fear is the worst impurity. And fear comes from the last bedrock of inconscient. So that's why it has no den. Why? Because inconscient is infinite. It is the shadow of the infinite. That's why you cannot cure fear by any finite means. Only way is invade the abyss by the infinite love. Only infinite can fill the infinite. Infinite light, infinite darkness. Infinite love, invade infinite pang of separation. That is the abyss. Then rushing, it was not hers, but hid its unseen cause. Then rushing came its vast and fearful fount. A formless dread with shapeless, endless wings. So this fear does not, we say I am afraid of this, I am afraid of that. Actually, it just picks up anything in the mind. It has no logic. But it comes. For instance, people are afraid of snake. Snake is not going to bite. Most of the snakes, if you don't interfere, they will not bite. Even evil, if you are not afraid, don't attract it near you. Walk by with strength, with complete faith. But so difficult, afraid. So fear attracts the feared. So it comes. So it attaches. And this formless dread with shapeless, endless wings, filling the universe with this dangerous breath. This is the one of the inconscient asuras or four asuras in the inconscient. One of them is the dragon. Sri Aurobindo describes in God's Labor. Around me the dragons murmur, and dragon is shown with wings and it spits fire. So it comes from the abyss and flies, flying dragon. So this is the dragon which rises from the depths and is formidable creature. So that's what he is describing. Filling the universe with its dangerous breath, like during Corona, a denser darkness than the night could bear, enveloped the heavens and possessed the earth. This is what we saw recently with the Corona. So it tries to capture human beings by fear. And if you are afraid, then there is a nice, not a nice, but very true dialogue in one of the famous Hindi movies, Sholay. Jo dar gaya, oh mar gaya. If you are afraid, you are dead. So this Corona, this Asura did the same thing. Aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid? Now vaccine, why does it help you? Have a faith. Suddenly something will help you. But many people died of vaccine also. But if we can have faith in the Divine Mother, doesn't matter how many times, nothing will happen. That faith is very rare. It's a rare treasure. If it's a gift, one should keep it carefully. So here is that description. A rolling surge of silent death. Silent death, it's coming without announcing. A rolling surge of silent death, it came, curving round the far edge of the quaking globe, effacing heaven with its enormous stride. It will to expune the choked and anguished air and end the fable of the joy of life. If somebody had to ask Sri Aurobindo what happened during Corona, he would describe these. Fear leaped from the abyss. It covered the whole globe, cut us off from heaven's light. Everybody was shut inside like a prison house, and people got very depressed. So this is the way it operates. It cuts us off from our own truth. So we read in those scriptures how the Asura invades the heaven and he fights and dethrones Indra. This is how they do it. Fear. Even Indra gets afraid. Imagine it can invade so far. Indra gets afraid. My throne will be taken away. Something in him opens to fear. And then we see actually his throne being taken away. And then he has to go to Kailash or Vishnu Bhagwan and ask for intervention. So this is how it happens. It seemed her very being to forbid abolishing all by which her nature lived and labored to blot out her body and soul. A clutch of some half-seen invisible, an ocean of terror and of sovereign might, a person and a black infinity. It is the dark shadow of God. So God is infinite, so this is also infinite. So it invades everybody with fear. And there we have such a description that it abolishes everything. When we are afraid, that time you'd say that, you know, there is a soul. Nana, who knows? Doubt fills the mind. Unless you have realized, doubts fill the mind. Is there really God? See, during Corona, what happened? Is there really God? Will God do something? See, all this kind of fear begins to invade. And it blots out everything. It blots out faith, covers it. It's a momentary thing, but it's an ocean of terror, which seems almighty. Last few lines. It seemed to cry to her without thought or word. The message of its dark eternity and the awful meaning of its silences. So that fear now begins to speak to her. How it is speaking? It's not like it is speaking from outside. Her thoughts will now be colored. So fear comes, puts a suggestion. We begin to think death is near. Why? Because fear is speaking to us. So the mind is captured and it begins to think in a very different way. What one should normally be thinking, it begins to make us think in a opposite way. Out of some sullen, monstrous, vast horizon, out of an abysmal deep of grief and fear, imagined by some blind, regardless self, a consciousness of being without its joy, empty of thought, incapable of bliss, that felt life blank and nowhere found a soul. So this is the state in which one enters when one is seized by fear. One begins to feel there is no soul, emptiness, no joy. You tell the person there is so many good things in life. So inside the person gets very angry. What good things? Don't you know my state? Because there is a lot of anger which is associated. Why? Because fear has clouded. That's what in spiritual language said, ignorance clouds. So we cannot see any joy. Even when God is near, we cannot see. That's the clouding that takes place. Sri Aurobindo has used the word clouding of consciousness, which is done by the hostile forces. We begin to weep for no reason, not the happy weeping of God's presence, but abnormal depressions, crying. We are totally hostile forces, make us lose control. No right thought will come. It feels life is a blank, a voice to the dumb anguish of the heart, conveyed a stark sense of unspoken words. In her own depth she heard the unuttered thought that made unreal the world and all life meant. So now how does fear and all of them, how does God speak to us? Our thoughts change. Suddenly you will think beautiful things, positive things. God is formless, but he is entering into the neurons. And suddenly, we are having uplifted thoughts. How does fear speak to us? Fear invades the same, because the same machine. And in that machine, suddenly the neurons go clutter, clutter, clutter. What nonsense, why life, we absurd, dying is better. All these thoughts begin to come. So now we'll read next time, next week, Shubhendu describing what kind of thoughts they come to a person who is besieged or under the attack of the hostile forces, forces of fear, forces of death, so that we can recognize it. Several places he will reveal it to us and throw them far away. So we'll stop here today and continue next week.